The Pat Kenny Show on News Talk
with Matter Private Network. During current restrictions, don't ignore your health concerns. Our expert team is ready to help.
Now, the highly infectious Delta variant has given the government and NPHET cause for concern, with transmissions increasing sharply over the last week. So what can be done to mitigate the spread, and is the further removal of restrictions next month prudent in the light of this evidence? Well, I'm joined now by infectious disease specialist, head of the Department of International Health and Tropical Medicine at the Royal College of Surgeons in Ireland, Professor Sam McConkie. Sam, good morning.
Hi, Pat. Thanks for having me.
You know, you're wondering, is this a serious alarm, or is this just the next thing to worry about? Because we're used to worrying about everything.
Yeah, I don't see it as anywhere near as catastrophic as the worst case scenarios that we faced back last February, March, April, or even in January and February of this year. But it's still significant. We can learn a lot from the UK. They've been suffering from this for 6 or 8 weeks. It seems that the cases there are almost doubling every week, which is worrying them. The mortality that they're seeing in the UK is about one in a thousand of the people that they diagnose with this Delta variant SARS-2 are not surviving it. That's less than 10 times less than what we had with the previous one, because it's happening in younger people, mostly less than 35. So even the hospitalization is just 1 or 2%. So it's not having as big an impact, because it's in young people. Good news is the vaccine seems to protect people. So if you got your two doses, you're pretty much okay. Mm. But of course, we're trying to vaccinate everyone like crazy, and that will take a few more weeks and months.
Now, Mike Ryan of the WHO, he was quoted in the Irish Times. They put a question to him about the Delta variant, and, you know, it's likely to be the dominant one in Ireland. But he said, a bit like you, it's not to be totally trifled with, because it will go about picking off the most vulnerable.
Yeah, that's unfortunately. And you can ask then, if we're learning from the UK that there's about a 1 in 1,000 mortality from this, we can ask in terms of public policy, is that an acceptable outcome for an infectious agent that we know is very infectious? You know, it spread rampantly through there are about 3 million odd people at least here who are not yet fully vaccinated or fully protected, and obviously, you know, 1 in 1,000 of those, if they were all to get it, is about 3,000 people would die, and that's clearly not as many as the 5,000 who've already died in this SARS COVID-19 problem that we've had in Ireland, but it's still a very significant number of people. So I think this is a public health emergency, as we know, and it needs really the same tools of testing, tracing, we've all heard them multiple times. Even these things like, I was delighted to hear there's possibly sick pay coming in as mandatory, so that people who are sick don't go to work and infect all their workmates, access to GP care. So these basic things of outbreak control, you know, it is really what we need to control it. And they seem to be working to some extent in England. The question, of course, is we're all wondering about foreign travel. And I think probably going to, you know, Bolton or Blackpool or Bradford right now, or Liverpool, probably is a bad idea. And even more so, people from Bolton coming to travel into Ireland, we really do run a risk that those folk would bring in this Delta variant in larger numbers. So I would be cautious, particularly about international travel to UK.
Do we need to know more about the origins of outbreaks? For example, we're told that there's an outbreak in Derry and in Donegal, and you're thinking, yeah, well, you know, that's the border. You know, who's arriving in Derry from Bolton? I'm not talking about, you know, targeting individuals, but people who are travelling. How did the outbreak take hold there? There's talk of an outbreak in Athlone. You know, what was the reason it's happening in Athlone? Because if we understand that, we can be more guarded.
I think that's true. Also, to me, it's that transparency that our, you know, public health outbreak investigators have now, telling us that there is an outbreak in Athlone, and telling us that if people were in certain locations around the bank of the Shannon there, that they may be at risk, and then they can go for testing and the pop-up testing. I think that's a good tool to increase awareness in that local area about the fact that the Delta variant is spreading in that location. That has been used in New Zealand when they've had outbreaks. They've certainly been very open, not about the names and dates of, you know, Pat Kenny has it or Sam McConkey has it, because that would be breaking some confidentiality, but to say that there has been an outbreak focused on a public square or a location in Athlone is helpful, because then everyone who is there for the previous few days can go and get tested, and that will help to control it. So other countries have used that openness and transparency about the geographical, physical location of an outbreak, I think, to help with better control. And as you're quite right, if we knew how it was coming in, now, unfortunately, larger numbers of our cases are now from travel than was the case, you know, back in January. So unfortunately, I know I'd love to travel abroad, as we'd all love to, but it's just, I don't see that this is a good time in the middle of a worldwide pandemic, because a lot of it's not only the Delta variant, Pat, there could be other new variants. There will be other new variants that will be emerging in countries where there's a lot of cases that might, the variant I'm really worried about is the one that can transmit widely in people who've been doubly vaccinated. That would be a sort of end of our vaccine success story. We'd need a new vaccine to protect those, and that would take a while to develop. So I do think restricting international travel, albeit, you know, it's very, very damaging to the tourist and hospitality industry and the airport industry, it is good public health to restrict movement. You could also say that focused travel restrictions, like from Athlone, if there is, I don't know the details of that outbreak, but if there is a big outbreak in Athlone, for example, then restricting travel out of that area to other parts of Ireland might be a local condition. Remember, we did this with Leash, Offaly and Kildare back last summer, last July, August. So local restrictions on the areas where the Delta is spreading most is wise, because I'm hoping that over the next 6-8 weeks, as more and more people get vaccinated with the Pfizer vaccine deliveries that are coming, Moderna, Johnson & Johnson, AstraZeneca, that then we'll be able to control this Delta variant better through widespread vaccination. And we're getting there at a fast rate, but it's still, as we've seen, the UK requires very high levels of vaccination, probably well over 90% of the adult population vaccinated before it will control this Delta variant.
Yeah. Now, the problem of mixed messages, I mean, anyone who was watching that hugely exciting match in Copenhagen last evening, where the Danes managed to qualify for the last 16, and a very exciting match, but they would have noticed, you know, huge numbers of cheering crowds not wearing masks in not a densely packed stadium, but a packed stadium nonetheless. So we're watching that and we're thinking, you know, they're a bit like us, their vaccination program's going apace. And then you hear, as we did this morning, from both Italy and Spain, where, you know, the obligatory wearing of masks outdoors in all situations except where you're eating and so on, that's only being relaxed now. In other words, they've been doing much more than we've been doing to stop aerosol transmission by the enforced wearing of masks, even outdoors. So people are, you know, who hear that message this morning and then watch last night's sport, thinking, well, what is the truth?
Well, I think we have to see that the truth is relative to an individual situation. So what's the case in, you know, Wuhan or Australia or New Zealand or Denmark or France is different from ours. Even Bolton, as we've said, these cities in England with lots of surges of Delta have a different reality. So each, even within Ireland, Limerick has very high rates, whereas, you know, I'm from Monaghan, as you know, Monaghan's relatively low, as is Kerry and Leitrim and Sligo. So there's even quite a lot of heterogeneity within Ireland. So this is a confusing situation, and there are even different rules in Northern Ireland. Even within the UK, there are 4 different sets of rules, and I can quite understand that it's confusing, and that is true. That is going to be confusing. So my view is we all need to be aware of where we live and knowing what is the rules and guidelines in our country. You know, if we're in Dublin, what are the rules here? And trying our best to follow them. I think, you know, what happens in Denmark isn't an issue for us or for our public policy. I think there is a worldwide kind of community, and the problem of coronavirus won't be solved until it's solved in big countries like Brazil and India and many other African and Asian countries where there's a lot of population. So it is a worldwide problem, and we are part, Ireland's part of COVAX, trying to encourage vaccination export to these big populous countries. So we're in it together as one world, but ultimately it's our own public policy and our own jurisdiction, you know, that we have to advocate for good public policy in Ireland and good adherence to the public health in Ireland. But I quite clearly accept that it's confusing when you see different rules. And sure, we saw there was a big pool party in Wuhan, you know, like they were yeah. dancing. And similarly, I don't know, I watched the sailing in New Zealand. There were hundreds of people watching the America's Cup sailing there. And they've just opened sporting events in New Zealand that are pretty much as normal, with no masks and no nothing. So the world is a very heterogeneous place in terms of how we're dealing with COVID.
In fairness to them, they use their island nation status to actually go for the COVID-free option. In other words, stamp down immediately on any outbreaks and just not allow anybody in. And we have not gone for that particular option. So a couple of things about foreign travel. I'm just wondering, and I'm sure it's not been clarified yet by the department, but given that on the 1st of July, people in other countries will be free to move about using the digital passport, which can be on your phone. I mean, when they knock on our door, will we have to let them in?
So my understanding of the EU framework of a digital passport, Pat, is that it allows an authenticated, valid statement that you carry around digitally, telling what vaccines you've had, how many of them you've had, when you had them, and if you've had COVID before or not, and also the results of your recent COVID test. So it's more of a database, an authenticated, reliable database that's trustworthy and valid, that you can show to say what your status is. And then it's up to each individual EU member state to then decide which of those criteria will each member state use to allow people in to its country. So the EU doesn't mandate that you have to let in people who've previously had COVID or who are vaccinated with this or that. Each country can decide on the exact details of the criteria. And I'm wondering what Ireland will decide, and those have not been clear yet. We don't know what criteria we'll use. Is it fully vaccinated? Is it PCR in the last few days? Is it maybe a recent COVID? Or, you know, that remains to be done. So there's two different things to that passport. One is it's a certificate, but how it's implemented in each individual country, I believe, has national jurisdiction rather than EU jurisdiction to decide who to let in.
All right. Well, Sam, you know, we were a bit slow off the mark when it came to the Indian variant. And I mean, we know why the WHO has changed the designation, because they don't want, you know, going back to Trump name calling like the China virus. And even though it did emanate from China, no doubt about that. But the Indian variant seemed to be, you know, pointing the finger at bad behavior in India. The UK variant seemed to be pointing to bad behavior in the UK. So they changed UK to Alpha. The Indian one is now called Delta, and I presume the next one, wherever it emanates from, will be Epsilon or Omega or whatever it might be. But, you know, we really have to be much more proactive, don't we, when there are outbreaks in particular places, and not say, we'll close down from next Thursday week. We've got to close down straight away.
Yeah, exactly. So we need really effective public health. I think we've all learned a lot about strengthening public health in Ireland over this last year and a half. If you indulge me with one story, everyone's heard of the Spanish flu in 1918-1919. But does everyone, all your listeners, know why it's called the Spanish flu? It's because the rest of the world on both sides of the First World War had serious media restrictions on telling stories. There was censorship for media. Spain didn't, because it wasn't in the war. So the Spanish reported it first. So it was the free and fair and open journalism in Spain that told the story of the influenza pandemic in Spain first, and then everyone called it the Spanish flu. So it's not that it started in Spain. It never started in Spain. Spanish were the first to tell the story. And it was a function of free and fair and open, transparent media, which I'm sure you cherish, Pat, that led to it being called the Spanish flu. Whereas people might think there's something, you know, bad about being Spanish, but it didn't start there. Similarly, you know, the UK variant, as we call it, or the Alpha variant, it was first sequenced in Kent. But the UK has a very good sequencing factory, if you like. They've been good at sequencing the human genome, and they're just sequencing loads of their viruses. So the fact that it was first sequenced there and first detected there doesn't mean it first started there. It just means they're better at finding it. So I think we have to be careful not to promote inappropriate sort of nationalism or anti-nation rhetoric through our naming of biological viruses, which, you know, could have started somewhere else. So I'm very happy to call it the Delta variant. It's kind of, I don't know, it's a Greek letter, obviously, and it might get a bit confusing. And we could run out of letters, Pat, if we get to Omicron, or that would be a problem. But I think it's good not to call it by name, because it's not right to blame people from another country. They're not individually or nationally responsible for these problems.
A final note from one of our listeners, and I think this is important. Yet again, all this talk about foreign travel is about holidays, but no regard to those of us who haven't seen our families in many, many months. It's so frustrating. It's not all about holidays. And, you know, we have a huge expat workforce here who have been, if you like, stranded here and would love to see their families and cannot visit because of the travel restrictions. So let's bear those in mind as well. All right, Sam, thank you very much for joining us. Professor Sam McConkie, infectious disease specialist, head of the Department of International Health and Tropical Medicine at the Royal College of Surgeons in Ireland.